All right, a final hour of power here on a Motown Victory Monday. Good to have you with us. Coming up, you will hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn at 3:30. Hopefully, we will have more information on Jaden Daniels and what the week ahead looks like. In lieu of that, and there's no new reporting that I've been able to find, we will proceed ahead as if we don't know. And joining us right now is the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, offensive coordinator of a couple of teams, and our guy, Jay Gruden. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverages, lifetime vehicle coverage, I should say. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, Jay joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing great.
Great to have you on as always. Obviously the big story from yesterday's game is Jaden gets hurt. Apparently on that first play of the game, the 46-yard run, that's when it happened. He stays in for another seven or eight plays. They run a couple of quarterback read keepers, what have you. I guess just in general, what did you make of Jaden trying to fight through it if indeed he did get hurt on that first play of the game, which is what it looked like? And then, you know, tell me from your perspective, like how hard is it to see whether a guy is banged up if he's not showing obvious signs from the sideline with all the chaos going on in the game?
Yeah, it's hard because you're just calling plays and you're assuming if he stays in the game, he's okay. You know, He did go down awkwardly. That was a weird slide. He was, you know, I thought he was going to outrun everybody for a touchdown, but then he kind of slowed up and slid and the guy kind of fell on him awkwardly. That was a little nerve wracking, but hopefully he's not a bad deal. But I think as a play caller, you're assuming that he's okay until he comes out. And I think at the end of that series, he was visibly sore, so he came out and enter Marcus Mariota, who played excellent.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get there in a second. So that's what it is. Basically, you need to, as a play caller, as a head coach in this case, you need to see an obvious sign, right? And the problem is the player's almost never going to want to come out. So it's kind of like this. Like, I remember before you got here, everybody killed Mike Shanahan for what happened with Robert. But, you know, when you're the head coach, you're not paying attention to every little thing. You've got a lot on your plate to deal with, right?
Yeah, we got to count on the doctors to do their job and trainers, and we can't make decisions on whether or not people can stay in the game or stay, come out of the game. We rely on the player and the trainers. You know, if the player says he's hurt and can't play, he doesn't play. If the trainer says he can't go, he can't go. If the trainer says nothing and the player says nothing, we're assuming they're good to go. So we just have to rely on them. And I think they did a good job. I think it was probably a rib issue, and sometimes you can battle through those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, if it becomes too uncomfortable to throw the ball, then you got to come out.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you again by the Ted Britt Automotive Group on the Team 980. So before we get to the week ahead and Caleb and all that stuff, you mentioned Mariota. Obviously, he comes in. And, Jay, I thought it took him about a series and a half to get the oil running through the engine, which is not uncommon for any backup quarterback, but especially one that missed half of training camp, the entire preseason, the first four games. I know he played in mop-up duty and for an extended mop-up duty against Cleveland 2 weeks ago, but wasn't asked to do much in that game. It wasn't a surprise to me to see him rusty at the beginning, but then once he got going, and especially on that drive before halftime where Cliff just slammed on the gas pedal and they started, you know, dialing up all those crossers to Terry and others, that was pretty impressive stuff.
That was an impressive drive to end the half. You know, I thought they might just kind of play a little more conservatively, being the situation with their backup, and they had a pretty good lead already. But Cliff did say, you know what, hell with it. Let's slam on the gas, see what Marcus can do, because we're going to need him. You know, we might need him to play more than one game, and he's got to get going, and he's got to play. We have to challenge him, and he's going to have to make these plays if Jaden can't go next week. So it was a great drive for him. It's great to see the team respond, not just Mariota, but the entire team. The offensive line protected them very well. The receivers got open. They caught the ball, obviously, and the running game still worked effectively. And then, of course, the defense played their ass off later.
It strikes me like if something would have happened to Mariota in that game, right, with the new rules, I don't know how familiar you are with the emergency third quarterback now, right? Like I, the way I understand it is if the third quarterback, the emergency third quarterback's got to come in, that would mean like the quarterback, in this case, Mariota, wouldn't have been able to play again, I guess, if he got hurt. And I wonder, moving forward, if that might cause, like, you know, some roster shuffling or juggling or something, right? Because if say, Jaden Daniels is not available at all to play this Sunday against the Bears, I would assume you have to have, I don't know, a third quarterback, right? Sam Hartman's on the practice squad, so I guess that would be the guy. These rules are kind of weird, right? I've always preferred to have three quarterbacks, me, active or on the roster or whatever. I know a lot of teams don't do that. How do you kind of balance all of that out between injury, between not knowing, and specifically at that position where you just can't flex somebody and switch somebody usually? I know Luke McCaffrey was a college quarterback, but you get my – I don't know if this question makes any sense, but you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. It's a nightmare, actually. You know, I think when the roster sizes, you can only dress 46 or was when I was around. You couldn't have the luxury of dressing three quarterbacks because you needed special team guys. You needed backups on the defensive line, et cetera, offensive line. I always stressed out about only having seven offensive linemen available. I remember one time, my first year, we had to play Logan Paulson at tackle. That was a nightmare.
I remember that.
But the third quarterback, you know, I usually, when I was in Cincinnati or Washington, we had somebody like, you know, I had Trey Quinn, I had Mosamu, I had somebody with a wristband for about six plays, eight plays were the direct snap, and we, you know, hand the ball off or, you know, run a zone read or whatever it might be, just to get us through a game, just in case. But you're right, you know, I don't know what the issue is. I think the reason why they don't dress three quarterbacks anymore is back in the day, teams were abusing that rule. Their third quarterback was like a wildcat guy, and he was playing some, and he was running down on special, he was doing stuff other than what quarterbacks do, I guess. So they abuse the rule. So they said, now if your third quarterback comes in, the other two can't come in, which, you know, makes a little bit of sense, I guess. Unless he gets hurt, then you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. And again, they do have Luke McCaffrey, who was, you know, 2 years ago, a quarterback at Rice. You mentioned some of the guys you had, and of course, we all remember Mohamed Sanu and what you did with him in 2012, was it? With that long pass, if I remember correctly, in week three against the Redskins defense before you became the Redskins head coach. Of course, Jay Gruden with us on the Team 980, brought to you again by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, so let me ask you this. We're going to hear from Dan Quinn. I don't know what he's going to say. It appears that he's got no broken rib. I don't know if he's got any other damage. Who knows whether he'll be able to practice Wednesday, limited, this, that. Who knows if he'll be able to play. But as a head coach, as a game planner, how would you handle, like, the next day and a half to 2 days if you don't know whether he can play or not? Meaning, like, clearly you've got to get somebody ready, and that somebody is Marcus Mariota. But do you just build a game plan for Mariota? Do you build a game plan for Jaden? How do you kind of approach that?
Well, the good thing is Mariota and Jaden have a similar skill set, which is a smart move by the Commanders, getting a quarterback like Marcus to back up Jaden, because if something does happen to Jaden, then you don't have to change a whole lot. Now, if you went to Sam Hartman, who's more of a drop-back quarterback, you might have to change some things. But obviously, I think the game plan will be the game plan, and if Jaden can play, great. If not, then Mariota's got the skill set, not quite the same skill set, obviously, but the same running ability with the zone reads and the pin-pull option plays out there, having so much success with that. I think they'll be fine. I think Cliff is going to come up with a game plan like he would if Jaden was playing, and if he can't play, then Marcus takes over.
How, because that's not always the case. Like, somebody was mentioning, I forget who it was, in Indianapolis, you have, you know, Joe Flacco, who's kind of got the mobility of the Chrysler Building, and then Anthony Richardson, different style quarterbacks. Here, a couple of years ago, you had Carson Wentz, and you had Taylor Heineke, you know, and you had different style of quarterbacks. Like, that is a really important notation, that you have something similar so that you don't have to do basically what, you know, what like what you're suggesting is Cliff can kind of keep everything similar, and it doesn't cause a big upheaval, right?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, with the Anthony Richardson Flacco scenario, you just, all the quarterback design runs and all the zone reads are out when Flacco comes in. That's easy. He just takes those out. Now we're just going to hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor and in the same fashion most quarterbacks do it, and drop back passes that we've had in since training camp were all available for Flacco. They may not be available for Richardson because he's not quite as good at all those. So, you know, you just have to change around what you're calling and for who you're calling it for. Make sure you try your best to play to the strengths of the guy that's playing and not try to force feed a system down a guy's throat if he can't perform at the level you need him to perform at.
In this case, one more on this, you know, the medical doctors might ultimately clear him to return to practice, maybe limited, you know, whatever. We know there's no contact, right? So they're not going to really be able to tell. But as a head coach, again, and as a quarterback guy, if you're at practice, like, you can tell whether he looks natural, whether his mechanics are affected, right? Like, what do you think you would be looking for if he's returned to practice in some capacity besides just obvious signs of pain? What mechanical type things would you be looking at or maybe focusing in on?
Flexibility for sure. His follow through is his takeaway. You know, can he get through the ball? You know, because when you turn your body, you have to torque your hips to throw the ball down the field. And if he has pain doing that, then he won't be as effective. He can't play. I think that's a big thing. It's going to be a comfort level for Jaden. I've hurt my ribs many, many a times playing arena ball and college football and high school. And it is pretty painful at times, something you're going to have to go through mentally as well as physically. But if he has the flexibility, he can't torque. If he can deal with the pain, then I think he'll be fine, because I don't think there's any long-term damage that could be done with a rib other than getting hit again and being sore. So hopefully if they're not broken, then I think it's going to be a pain tolerance and a flexibility thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us. All right, let's get the rest of the game. I mean, clearly Carolina is very challenged. We know that. You know Andy Dalton. Made some terrible decisions yesterday right from the jump. How much credit do you give to the Washington defense versus just a really bad day at the office for the Carolina offense?
I give a lot of credit to Washington's defense. They were disruptive, and they flew around to the football again. And, you know, like Sanistrel, that's how you pronounce his name, right?
Sanistrel. Yep.
It was a route reading play. It was the dagger concept of push by number two and a dagger. He just jumped the dagger before, the receiver get in there, and Andy just anticipated a throw. And that's Andy's strength, is his anticipation and his accuracy. If guys aren't where they're supposed to be, he will throw interceptions if the receiver does not run the route. He stopped the route, and Sanistrel made a good pick. And there was other plays where Andy had no chance because the protection failed, or Washington was all over the place, and the running game didn't help Andy out at all. So you got to credit Washington's defense for being as disruptive as they were, making big plays when they had to, getting off the field when they had to, and forcing them to become one-dimensional, which no team is very good at, especially Carolina.
Chicago's coming in here this week off of a bye, regardless of whether Jaden Daniels plays, whether it's Mariota, however that all works out. Did you like playing teams off of a bye? Because I could see the pros and the minuses. I mean, A, rest, health, whatever, but also some rust, right? I mean, no matter how much you practice, teams sometimes, not all the times, takes teams a couple of series, maybe a little bit more than that, to kind of get back in the flow of playing football again for the first time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what the stats are of teams coming off a bye, but I didn't like it. I can remember one year we played like four teams coming off a bye. I thought it was brutally unfair, because you do get that extra rest. You do get guys back from their nicks and knacks, their soreness, maybe a slight pulled hamstring or a sore shoulder, or whatever. Now they're 100% as opposed to playing 80% or maybe not playing at all. So, and you get well-rested guys. I mean, the coaches, too. Coaches get a couple days off, and they're more rested. Now they can prepare and extra prepare for your team and have a week. And you have one less week to prepare, film from that team as opposed to other teams that you're playing that don't have a bye. So I think it's not a fair deal. It's the most unfair thing to me. But statistically, it may not matter. But I would much rather play a team not coming off a bye than coming off a bye.
Yeah, and it seems like Caleb Williams is getting more and more comfortable in the pocket and less reliant on play extension and legs and running around horizontally and trying to, fling balls all over the place, which should happen, right? With a good, talented guy, he should get more comfortable in the pocket. And, Jay, you know this, that defense led by Montez Sweat, because you drafted Montez Sweat, that this is going to be a tough test whether Jaden plays or Mariota plays or whoever plays.
Yeah, for sure. Their defense is playing good. They got a couple guys that are banged up, but they have an elite corner. They have a team that can stop the run, and they have a defense that is very sound and it can run and tackle, pure tackle and sound tackling. And the reason why I like Montez Sweat coming out, he ran like 4.4. It's just four quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, guys that can run. I need somebody that can track these suckers down, and Montez could do that. He could fly, and he's long. So, yeah, it'll be a great challenge for them. But, I think Washington will be up for it. They just got to continue to do a good job on defense and playing well They did a good job against the run against Chuba, who had a pretty good couple games before this game. They stopped him. Now they're going to have to stop DeAndre Swift a little bit. But, you know, it's all going to come down to getting pressure on Caleb Williams and making him do some uncharacteristic things like throw the ball to the other team. If they can get some turnovers, I think they will have a great chance to win.
Quarterback injuries, of course, are a big storyline every Sunday and none bigger here in Washington. But, you know, listen, Deshaun Watson, we all know some of the things that have happened there. I hate that the fans are booing the guy. I mean, I get that they're frustrated. Then his teammates are coming out saying how great of a guy he is. That's a tough, spicy potato to deal with there, Jay, knowing what, you know, allegedly sort of happened, and then you're trying to defend him as a teammate and an organization, and the fans are upset and they're booing him, and then there's cap implications. What a mess in Cleveland.
Absolute nightmare. You know, it's one thing to have a quarterback, you know, do some things that are a little bit questionable off the field, which everybody does in the world. Nobody's perfect, which we get that. But then to come in and have a huge contract and play poorly, I mean, really poorly, like awful. And then he gets hurt, and then how do you handle that? So it's a tough situation for Cleveland. They have a much better team than the way they're producing. Their defense should be very, very good. Hell, their defensive coordinator was coordinator of the year last year, and their coach was coach of the year last year. So they have some players. It's just unfortunate that Deshaun and the offense has been so awful. I mean, awful. And it didn't help that they lost a couple linemen early in the year, which, you know, everybody's got injuries. But sure. Now that he's out, now they got to turn to either Jameis or DTR. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it was weird that DTR was the number two quarterback and Jameis was the emergency third yesterday. I kind of found that weird slash interesting, but I don't know if something's going on. The game of the day, and again, I was busy running around Northwest Stadium doing pregame stuff, and then, of course, our game. But the Lions and the Vikings, 31-29, the Lions, you know, they kicked Dallas's ass on the road last week, and then you think, maybe, you know, like kind of let them pedal off the metal, and they roll up another 30-plus points. Jared Goff's awesome again. And the guy I wanted to ask you about is Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Like, Ben Johnson gets all the credit. How about Brad Holmes, the general manager who worked with your guy Sean McVay in Los Angeles before getting to Detroit? I mean, it just almost everything he's done, Jay, as a GM has turned to gold. Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome.
It's been amazing, not to mention Branch. This Brian Branch guy is a monster back there at safety. Yeah. Another interception. Yeah. He had some big tackles in the game. Jack Campbell had like 7 solo tackles. He's awesome. He was drafted. That was a hell of a draft. Sam LaPorta was a hell of a draft pick. Yeah. So, yeah. They pick up David Montgomery. Their offensive line has been impressive. You know, the guys they drafted, Frank Ragnow, Glasgow, and Taylor Decker, and Sewell. Sewell's a first-round pick. So it is an unbelievable team with absolutely no weakness, and they can hurt you different ways, different weeks. They can hurt you with the power running game with Montgomery. They can get you outside with Gibbs. They can throw the ball down the field. They can throw the ball intermediately. They can throw screens. There's no stopping the Detroit Lions right now because they have zero weaknesses in their game.
Jay, I don't know if you put this out already on your Twitter for Underdog Fantasy. I haven't had a chance to check. Who do you like tonight in the early Monday night game? Ravens, Bucks down in Tampa.
I like the Ravens. You know, I heard a stat that Lamar's like 21-1 against the NFC, which is unheard of. So I'm going to stick with Baltimore primetime. Baltimore always plays good. And I'm counting on my man Baker to throw the ball to the other team a couple times. So Baltimore's my pick.
My man Baker. I want my man Baker.
He plays ass off, but he will throw the ball over from time to time.
I want my man Baker to throw a couple of interceptions. I hear you. I hear you. Should be an entertaining game. And then you have the Chargers and the Cardinals, which should not be an entertaining game. That might be a game that only mothers can love. Jay, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it again, next Monday. Appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of the week.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. We'll step aside because Dan Quinn is expected to meet the media right at 3:30, so we want to make sure we get you back in time for that. You will hear it live here on the Team 980, and we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, everybody, welcome back right here on this Victory Motown Monday. We are awaiting Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. He will be addressing reporters in just a moment or two. We will bring that to you live. You know, real quickly, I just, like, Jay was, you know, trying to, you know, say, and I think it's wise, is like the game plan's the game plan. That's why it does make sense. Like, I thought during the offseason, I was like, okay, keep Sam Howell here. Let him compete for the backup job. At worst, he's the third quarterback. But Sam Howell, even though he's got some mobility, even though he's got some athleticism, I understand, you know, big picture, why you would want a guy like Mariota. A, for experience. B, for mentorship to Jaden Daniels. And C, you don't have to change much. Whereas Howell, even though he had some athleticism, didn't have the same athleticism. All right, let's go out to Command Land in Ashburn. And we are going to hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn of the 5-2 Washington Commanders.
And I know the most important thing everyone is waiting on is Jaden's health. And so I'll start there and I'll update you with what I have. That's what we discussed last night. The status for Jaden, we'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury, and we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man. And so I want to make sure I gave you all the updates that I had, and so it's not going to be something that's going to knock him out for a long term. And so, like I said, we're going to list it as week to week. And like I said, hopefully we'll play this week and we'll take it every day of it all the way through. So glad to open up with you guys and get rolling.
Okay, go ahead, Nikki.
Are you able to say what exactly he is dealing with?
Rib injury. And so the injury came, this kind of fell awkwardly on the opening play. I think you'd asked me that last night, Nick. I want to make sure I got back to you on that as well. So it was the opening play. He was able to finish out that drive, but it was the best, you know, call to wait it out. And like I said, we'll see where he is, you know, going through the steps at practice this week, and we'll make a decision as we go. But literally, like, we're not going to miss one step of this. You know, all the way through, it's really important to get it right, and we will.
And medical stuff aside, I know the doctors have their say in all this, but for you as a coach, what do you need to see from him this week to make you comfortable that he can play?
Yeah, and I think he's such a unique player that I want to make sure he can be him fully in his own way. And the movements, the, you know, throwing and all the stuff that would go with that, as you can imagine. So I know he'll do everything he can, but I'll trust my eyes and certainly know him well. So, like I said, we'll take it every step of the way.
John Kime.
Yeah, and just kind of playing off that, is this a pain management thing? Is it more restrictive on his throwing? What will be the biggest challenge for him with this?
As you're going through it, like most times when there's like a core injury, John, it's more just, you know, the movements and all that goes into throwing and playing the position. So for him, going through that whole process, you know, will be an important one for him. So any of the time it's with the core, it's with the movements.
And then for decision-making, you said you go with your eyes. How much will you also rely on him and where he's at? And do you almost have to temper some of that because you know how he'd want to be out there?
Yeah, that part we all know from all of us that know Jaden. Like, he is at his core a true competitor, and we wouldn't expect anything different than that, but we'll really trust you know, our eyes, the medical staff, and like I said, we're going to make sure, John, we assess this every day and make sure when he's able to be him fully in that space, you know, then we'll let it rip. But we'll just take it, you know, as we're going through the whole week. We got practice to assess and movements and going through it. And then each day we'll have a better update.
Ben.
So Dan, to some degree, this is why you guys go out and get a Marcus Mariota, somebody who has this experience. Does the fact that he has the same sort of, or not the same stuff, but like has that mobility, does that was that ultimately like a big factor to have somebody who has a similar style? I guess he came before Jaden, you know what I mean? Like somebody that has a similar style to what you were looking at?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Ben, on that. And I think what it also shows is like, you know, we take that part, you know, really important. We hate that these, you know, types of injuries happen. And, you know, God forbid when they do, you want to make sure you're absolutely, you know, ready to deliver in that space. And Marcus is that type of player. And as much as you don't want that, those injuries to happen at any position in the NFL, we know it does. And so for him to step into that space, it was an important win, certainly not a great one with, you know, players being injured, but it was an important one. And on the sideline, you can see the support that Marcus got, you know, from his teammates. And I think that goes a long way of being ready and all the things that happen when no one's watching, you know, the staying after practice, going through a 2 minute to get ready. And it, sure enough, it happened right before the half to go down the field on a 2 minute. He literally had done that on Friday, Ben, post practice with a bunch of guys and going through to get full speed reps. So it's funny how those things, you know, come up and you're ready and you're able to deliver. So that's Marcus, you know, being ready when called upon.
And I know this isn't necessarily a plug and play operation, but the fact that you guys were able to maintain the efficiency and that you've had throughout the year, what does that kind of say just about how the offense is running right now?
Yeah, I think it shows there's a lot of confidence in the plan of what we would do and how to feature the players of doing the things, you know, that they do best. And so I wasn't surprised to see Marcus perform well. We've all seen it. What I thought was really strong, Ben, was this is a guy that missed a month, you know, of being on IR at the start. And so for him to battle back from an injury and get back into the reps, that took work to do that. And so he got some playing time early in one of the games. Can't remember which one right now, but, you know, that was important to get going. And then this one to get in for almost the whole games. I think Jaden, you know, left after the first drive. So that was a big deal.
Sam?
Will this situation prompt you guys to reconsider at all the role of design quarterback runs in the offense?
It would not. On this one, Sam, that Jaden ended up getting injured, it was honestly more like a scramble. You know, there was a lead blocker outside, and he was, you know, 30, 35 yards down the field. So, no, that's not the type of design run that we would move from.
Is the coaching point to him on that? Like, is it okay that he cut back in the middle of the field, or what is the coaching point, I guess, to him, if there is one at all?
Yeah, he was really trying to work off the safety at first. And so to cut across his face, he was trying to go score. And so as he was getting down the field, I thought from the design standpoint, it was good. And he just, you know, kind of fell awkwardly on it. So it was not a function, Sam, in this particular case of, you know, running in the A gap and, you know, getting hit by a defensive tackle. You know, it was a down the field run that in a lot of ways would have felt like a scramble if you just saw the second half of the play, not the first half, if that makes sense.
David Aldridge.
Dan, I am assuming that part of your evaluation of Jaden this week will involve him trying out different types of pads and wraps to see what he's comfortable in terms of throwing motion and all of that?
Not as much, Dave, on the pad. He already has, you know, a specific one. In this instance, it's really going to be more of the rotational part of things and to see how that part would go and what it looks like to make sure he can have all the movements down. He's got a pretty secure padding. It seems smaller, but it's you know, like where it protects over the ribs, like a lot of the quarterbacks have. You know, it's protected strongly there.
I guess I was wondering if he would try a flak jacket on or anything, or if that would even be a help for him.
Not in this instance. Okay. The one that he has good protection. It was really more a function of, you know, like kind of being torqued in a different way as opposed to an impactful play.
Okay.
Like an impact play, excuse me, not an impactful play.
Scott?
Hey, Dan, you guys are calling this a rib injury. Can you expand on that? I know some fans are worried that maybe the rib's broken, bruised. Can you kind of expand on that a little
sure.
bit, Dan?
The best thing, Sam, I can say, I mean, Scott, excuse me, for the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, and that's why we listed him as week to week. And like I said, we're hopeful he'll play this weekend, but we're not going to miss one step, you know, as it goes through it.
How's his demeanor today? Is he already like I'm playing on Sunday, coach. Put me in, coach. Can you kind of explain that?
I think you can probably figure that one out on your own, Scott, from being around Jaden for one day. But yeah, he was doing great today. You know, same way last night. And but that's really how he's wired.
Thank you.
Andy?
Charlie, did you call on me?
Just yep. Make it short. Yep, that's you.
Hey, coach. Coaches Cliff, Tavita, and Coach Blau, what can you say about what they're building in the quarterback room right now?
I think Friday, Candy, was a really cool demonstration of that. So we finished our practice on Friday. And after that, they went over to get, you know, more 2-minute work in. And so it was Kaz and Mitch and Bryson and others. And they honestly went right down the field. So I think it speaks, one, to the importance of like getting ready. And two, it speaks to the importance of like development and that we never stop onto that. And here, that's really a lifestyle for us, Candy. Like it's not affected by the result of a score or that, like we're honestly trying to dig in to get better. And so for Cliff and Tavita and Dave to take the guys, go through a 2-minute, just, hey, these are the calls to go through it at full speed, you know, with some other receivers to get ready. I think that speaks to that group. No one really knew that was going on. You know, everybody else was, you know, breaking down, going through, but that group had brought, you know, 5 or 6 guys over here. Let's go through this again. Let's take another lap at this. And it was, you know, for the benefit of Marcus, just in case this happens. And I think that speaks to readiness and their connection together is really strong. It's nice to see Marcus and Jaden, both similar experiences coming up, older, younger, the coaches, Blau just being done, you know, Tavita, you know, kind of the one, you know, bringing everyone together. So it's actually a really fun group to be around.
And I'm going to switch to the defense really for my second question. A few weeks ago, you were sharing that you shared with the defense that they were in. So where do you think the defensive in the unit is now?
You know what? I was pleased to see both on special teams and defensively tackling improving again. And that's such a big deal, Candy, because so much of the offense in the NFL is spread out and finding space. And so quite a few of the tackles that you saw, you know, are space plays. And it wasn't just, I got the sideline and I can use that as the 12th defender, but screens and bubbles and, you know, plays that you can get space fast and going to tackle in that spot was really a big deal. For us to get to +2 in a game to create 2, you know, 3 is what we usually, that's the marker. If we can knock 3 out one way or another, I thought maybe we'd have a shot on one. There was one that came out on a fumble on a kickoff cover and it went right back to the Carolina Panther guy that added a couple more yards on the return. But I am pleased to see that mindset changing.
All right. That is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn speaking with reporters via teleconference there from his office in command land at Ashburn. So in case you haven't been listening or just joining us or what have you, he said this is something that's not a long-term issue. He described it as week to week. They're hopeful Jaden Daniels can play this Sunday, but he repeatedly did not clarify whether it's a broken rib, a abductor injury, an oblique injury. I mean, I presume that if it was an oblique injury, that he would have said that, but we don't know. Whether it's rib cartilage, whether it's bruising, whether it's swelling. But he refused to say, even when doubled down and asked by Scott Abraham of ABC7, like for a specific medical diagnosis, he did not say. So he did not, of course, verbally rule out that it is a broken rib. He did not verbally, he just said rib injury. So again, we still do not know exactly, but what we do know is week to week, and what we do know is that they're hopeful he can play. He did say at one point that he kind of torqued it.
So what I would say is you don't have to worry about it being a break. It's definitely not because
we don't know that. Well, for the fact he refused to clarify,
But what he did say is that the fans should not be worried that it isn't that serious. A broken rib, and that's
is a broken rib that serious? Is a broken rib that's like? I mean, would that rise to the level of serious?
You got to think his entire sport or his aspect is throwing. That all starts with the core. If your core is broken, you can't throw.
Yeah, but if he is, if the injury is like some sort of torqued, I don't know, intercostal muscle or whatever, or bruising or swelling, or maybe it is the oblique, but again, I think they would have probably clarified oblique. I would think they would want to, again, clarify that. As a matter of fact, he went out of his way a couple of things. One, to say, like, he torqued it on that first run, one. Two, he said, no, it's not about just, like, getting him more protection and padding or the flak jacket or whatever you heard. I think it was Barry Sferluga that kind of doubled down. It's not about more rib protection. It's can he make certain movements? Can he spin
it's
and throw?
It's about him being able to play at his caliber, not at trying to get him back as soon as possible.
Yes, I guess that's the most simplistic way of saying it. But I guess my point being is, it's not like, oh, he's got a... I mean, he didn't say this exactly, but it's not like, oh, he's got a bunch of swelling and inflammation and or a broken rib, and they could just put a flak jacket on it and beef it up and protect. He's like, as a matter of fact, he's got plenty of protection. We're not going to give him more protection. He's got that. It's more, again, can he torque? Can he move? And that was what I was kind of thinking last night and even earlier in the show is this is like Jaden, of course, runs, right? Can he, you know how I talk all the time about how he likes to run to his right and he keeps his eyes up and he kind of flips his hips and he kind of torques his body? I wonder if that's the exact type of movement that they're going to be looking for, I would have to think, right? Besides getting hit, which they're not going to be able to simulate and see what his response is. And they're saying he's got enough protection. So they don't seem to be worried about that. They seem to be worried about the torquing of his body, the twisting of his body to be a quarterback and to throw on the run, in the pocket, under duress, shuffling around, what have you. That's what they seem to be more concerned about. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a mind reader, but that's what I heard.
All I can say regarding rib injuries, because I've pulled a rib a couple times when I was swimming, and it was one of the most debilitating injuries. It was quick because it was just a matter of going to PT, making sure that whatever you pulled is back in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was usually, it was maybe 2-3 days of but it's excruciating pain that you aren't able to really move. If you jerk the wrong way, all of a sudden it's just blinding pain.
Well, he was moving around pretty good on the sideline last night and certainly seemingly in good spirits, right?
All I'm saying is that rib injuries are something that they can come real quick. They can be healed real quick. But when they are active, they can be incredibly debilitating.
Well, and that's why, like last night when all the reports emerged, including his mom saying he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine might mean he doesn't have a cracked or broken rib, but that doesn't mean that there's not swelling, inflammation.
A bruise is enough for you.
Yeah,
anything. Yeah.
It's some sort of cartilage. Whatever. And again, Dan continuously not specifically addressing what it is, and maybe there's some gamesmanship there. We don't want the Bears to know. We don't want the Bears to attack even more. You would think the Bears are going to try and rough him up legally, right? If he plays. I don't know about you. My sense, this is only my sense, after hearing him what he said, my sense now is that he won't play. That's my sense. I don't know that. I don't think anybody exactly knows that, but that's my sense. Whereas I came into the show slight lean towards he would play, but my sense now after listening to Quinn is that he won't play.
I would honestly say what I'm getting from Quinn is it kind of feels like an anti-McCarthy because he is not willing, or McDaniels. Because I'm sure you know Mike McDaniels announced earlier during our show that they were going to...
That Tua's going to come back to practice and play. Yeah.
Well, in this situation, it seems like it's something that might not be a severe injury, but they're willing to take it as far as they need to ensure that it doesn't develop into a severe injury.
Right. Right. And that's the other part of this.
They're being cautious. Nothing wrong with that. Hopefully it doesn't cost us anything, but I like caution.
Right. The other part of this is, you know, they need to see what they need to see during the week of practice. Totally understand, totally get how that's going to work. What we don't know is if he does take a shot, helmet, elbow, just whatever, does that re-aggravate the pain, or I assume he would get like some sort of pain shot. I don't know. Would that re-aggravate the injury? Don't know. Meaning if he gets cleared somehow to play and they start and they play him, something could happen early on in the game as a re-aggravation that they can't simulate or test or possibly know right now, or even say during the practice week. So again, I want to be clear, not a doctor. We don't have any official diagnosis other than rib injury, but they say it's not that serious, but they also say it's week to week. And they also say, and they also, maybe the doc will know tomorrow, but like they could say whatever they want. And I know how Commanders fans are going to spin this. Oh, he's playing. He'll be fine. He'll be good. I know how this game is going to be played. And I'm going to be one of the few, if not one of the only, expressing concern and hesitation all week. I'm not saying he won't play. But if you listen to that and thought, oh, he's playing, or there's a good chance he's playing, that's on you guys. That's on you. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. Matt, I forgot what we were going to do. Oh, yes. It has something to do with another quarterback, another famous quarterback, but not directly that quarterback. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up a Victory Motown Monday. The DOC will be with us tomorrow. Maybe for the first time in 3 weeks, we won't lead with big breaking news from the New York Jets. Maybe. Who knows? You know what we'll do now before turning the keys over to Craig Hoffman? We will honor, celebrate. We will point out the society in which we live in.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right, you guys know Patrick Mahomes, right? He's won a couple of Super Bowls, best quarterback in the game still, 6-0 Chiefs, all of that. Well, you might not know his dad. You might know his brother, who is ridiculous. His dad was a former Major League pitcher. He pitched for the Mets and other teams. Patrick Mahomes Sr., well, he's had not only a drinking issue, which is nothing to be made fun of, but a drinking and driving issue, which is beyond serious. And he was pulled over right before last year's Super Bowl on February 3rd. And in video that TMZ posted of him being questioned and ultimately arrested in the car, Mahomes Sr. is wearing a Kansas City versus Everybody sweatshirt, is heard calmly talking to police about how he can't have this. It would really alter his son's preparation. It would affect his performance. He's going to play in the Super Bowl. So on and so forth. And the cop keeps asking questions and saying, you know, look, whatever the cop is saying. And ultimately, Mahomes Sr. passes along an open can of Coors Light, said he had a couple of beers that was in the console of the car, right? So then the cops say, you know, they resist the ability to just let him go and have somebody pick him up. They put cuffs on him and he gets agitated. And he gets mad. And he says, are you all serious? I'm supposed to be going to the Super Bowl to watch my son play football. And this is what we're doing. Yes, Patrick Mahomes Sr., This is what we're doing. You're not supposed to be driving drunk, buzzed, intoxicated under any stretch, no matter who you are, no matter where your son is playing, no matter who you are, no matter what your son is doing, period. This is what we're doing. And this is why we still have the problem in society that we have, is because we are way too lenient, way too kind, way too free to allow people to continue to do this. Now, he did ultimately say, can I say one thing? My son is getting ready to play in the bleeping Super Bowl, okay? Just listen to me. I'm not drunk. I promise you. I've had some drinks, but we can't have this right now. Listen, this can't happen. So he's a concerned dad. Great. Congratulations for him. More altercation go on. Verbal altercation. They arrest him. They charge him. Again, it's a third felony count of DWI. And eventually he was sentenced to a 5-year probation after reaching a deal with prosecutors. Now, the good news is he says he has not had a drink since. So hopefully he's doing better and well. And it's not about the drinking for me. It's about the drinking and the driving. So let me point that out. But for that, because he tried to use his son's name to get basically out of it, sorry, I gotta whack you.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
Again, let me repeat, it does not matter who your son is. It does not matter what game he is playing in. Please stay up off the road and from behind the wheel when you've been drinking. Please. Too many people have died because of that. That's the problem. All right. Thanks to Jay Gruden. Thanks to Ben Sinnott. Thanks to you guys on the phones. Great job, Adam, Matty Ice. As always, Doc with us tomorrow. Craig Hoffman up next. Have yourself a great rest of your Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.